Well, praise the Lord for the opportunity to be back here at the church. It's great to see your pastor. Good to be here with you all again. And it was an incredible opportunity to have you guys, or some of you, down in Chile here, I guess, about a year and a half ago there in Chile. And I suppose that's what the pastor was referring to about some of the stories. And the bus driver that we had there in Chile, he called Pastor Jody and said, you know, he looks like just the typical guy that you would see playing the role of a president in a movie from the U.S., and he has a voice like the president. He said that early on in the trip, and the rest of the trip he called him Mr. President. So so I'll obey Mr. President tonight. But it's great to be back here, and we really appreciate you guys. The church here has been investing in our ministry monthly for, I think, 11 years now. We were 2 years in Peru back in 2003 and 4. And in 2005, we were there learning the language and getting some experience in the ministry after we got out of college. And then since 2005, we've been serving there in the country of Chile, in the capital city and some of the surrounding areas. And back, I guess it was the first few days of August of last year, we were sitting with the group of people. We had just climbed up a small hill there in the middle of the city of 7 million people. If you can imagine, the whole state of Tennessee squeezed into a small area about the size of Knox County. That's about what the city of Santiago is. And there's about 18 houses per acre there on average there in the capital city. So there's a lot of people squeezed in a small area. And we were drinking a cup of coffee right before we were getting ready to head to the airport to take the group back. And we had been out to see the Twin Cities, Valparaíso and Viña del Mar. I think the day or two before, and we're seeing some of the need there. Cities that since we arrived in Chile, that we had really been praying about the opportunity of doing something there, but up to that point had not done, anything in the line of church planning. We were focusing there, trying to get some things off the ground in the capital city about 60 or 70 miles inland there from the coastal cities. And the pastor looked at me and said, well, you know, what would it take? If we were just talking about just in theory and in ideas, what would it take to get the gospel to every home in the Twin Cities? And I looked at him and said, I don't know. That's a good question. let me think here. And, you know, the next thing you know, we were working on just some of the idea of thinking about it. And we finished that conversation over the next few hours and getting ready to go back to the airport. And I told him, If the Lord opens up the door of opportunity, then we'll prayerfully consider not just trying to get the gospel, you know, into each home through a track or some kind of brochure, but we'll prayerfully consider maybe the possibility of church planting out here, because I couldn't imagine, you know, giving out 250,000 tracts and with the gospel presentation and not having a church to send people to, somewhere to tell them, you know, to go if they're saved or if they have doubts or whatever. About a month later, we did a survey trip out, took a group of guys there from Chile and told the pastor, there's really not anyone that's right now, you know, a guy that's a Bible college graduate ready to go. This is just a work of faith, and we'll just pray and see what God will do. The last Sunday of November of last year, we started Iglesia Bautista Visión in one of the suburbs of Viña del Mar. And then back on September the 1st, which is a Sunday this year, we held our first services in Villa Alemana, which is another suburb there of Viña del Mar. And so there are two churches preaching the gospel there in the fifth region in that area there of Chile, there in the Twin Cities part of Viña del Mar. And the 250,000 tracts that have been distributed and all those kind of things. And that's part of the influence that this church has had there in Chile. And we praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for what God's doing there. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be one of the missionaries that you all support. And we appreciate your friendship and the influence. And we're excited about the things that are going on in Chile. We're back in for about a three-month short trip, and then we'll be headed back here at the end of the year to Chile. So be praying for the ministries and the things that are going on there. We do have a short video that'll tell you a little bit more about what's going on there, let you see some of the ministry The last church in the series of churches is Vision Baptist Church. That was the one that we started back last year. The newest one that was started on September the 1st actually didn't make it into the video, so we'll have to send you some pictures of that one as well. But I think they might have it ready, so let's take a couple of minutes and see some of the ministry there in Chile.
Can you imagine growing up in a city of hundreds of thousands of people and never hearing the gospel? Well, Carlos can. There are literally thousands and thousands of young people in Chile today that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Not one time have they heard that Jesus loves them. Carlos grew up, and he never had the opportunity to hear about Jesus. But what if Carlos' story was different? What if we had a different focus? What if there were churches in each community preaching the gospel each week to kids and teenagers and adults? That would be a different story for Carlos and many children like him. That's just not the case. Carlos has never heard the gospel. In his city, there are not Bible-preaching churches that are reaching people with the gospel. There's still incredible need in Chile. There's still incredible opportunity. A country where missionaries can go in, start churches, preach the gospel on the street, hand out tracts, share the gospel with anyone, anywhere, at any time, and there's hardly any restrictions. There's even more freedom in Chile than there is in the U.S. Yet there's cities like Carlos's city that have still not heard the gospel. We've not reached them yet. Thankfully, in Santiago, the capital city of Chile, there's a different story. Although there's still tons of need and there are dozens of neighborhoods of more than 100,000 people where there's still not a Bible-preaching church, back in 2005, God used our family to start a church with a lady and her two children. And that small congregation began to grow. In 2010, we were able to start some more churches. And since then, God continues to raise up men, and we are taking steps of faith to start more and more churches and train more men. The key to reaching Chile for Christ is to train Chilean pastors, Chilean church planters to reach their own people. This is what Jesus did with his disciples, following the building.
Maybe we'll have the opportunity here in a few minutes to see the remaining part of that video. But in the first part of the video, it highlights the other side of the Twin Cities, Valparaiso, where we still don't have a Bible-preaching church there. And in the capital city, there are literally over a dozen areas of more than 100,000 people, if you can imagine. Larger areas that still don't have churches, and so there's so much need still there in the capital city and the surrounding areas. And so we're excited about what God's doing, what he's done, but really praying and looking forward to the future and about what God will be doing over the next few years if he allows us and he doesn't come before then to continue doing there in Chile. So up through the beginning of this year, we had four churches that were started in Chile, and right now we're working with the guys on a project, and it started with the first church there on September the 1st, of starting four more churches between September and January of 2014. And so three of those four are now preaching the gospel and are having services, two in the capital city, one over in the fifth region. And so we're praying that that other church will also be up and running here in the next few months. And so be praying about some of those needs and opportunities there in Chile. And so we're trying to help out some of these, the national pastors, the Chilean guys on the front end, to help them be funded for church planting. And then as the churches grow within the first 2 to 3 years, then that funding will go down as the local church can be grown and be raised up to support their pastor. And so we're excited about that opportunity in church planting there in Chile. And so be praying about those things. Get one of our prayer cards on the way out so you can remember our family, remember the things going on there in Chile. And also, if you'd like to get email updates about what's going on there, you can sign up for our email list as well. And so be sure and do that. I saw the projector light come back on, and so I think we are good to go to see the last part. That was just a little commercial break in the middle of the video, and then we'll go back to the remaining part.
Produce more future church planters. As the multiplication process starts, a country can be literally revolutionized by the gospel. Since 2005, this has been our chief objective in Chile. What started with one church in Santiago has now multiplied into several churches. Just imagine what God could do in the near future as more young pastors are trained. Will you help us reach people like Carlos, people that still need to hear the gospel? Churches like yours make it possible for us to do the ministry in Chile. Thank you for praying and for investing in our ministry. We could never do it without you.
Thank you very much. If you take the Word of God, please, and open to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, and we're going to read the first few verses here from this book. And again, it's exciting to be here in a church that has partnered so closely with us in the ministry there in Chile and has had such an influence, especially and seeing churches planted and seeing the gospel go out in a massive way to an area that's so needy. And we're just privileged to be here and tell you a little bit about what God's doing there. But as you go back into the first century and read through the book of Acts and see how churches were planted and how Paul was doing the ministry there, and read some of the letters that he wrote to churches that either he started or others started in a short time period, you know, when he was working as well, it encourages me there on the mission field. I come from a godly heritage, and I thank the Lord for that. My father was a pastor. My grandfather, my mom's side, was a Baptist pastor. My great-grandfather on my father's side was a circuit-riding Baptist pastor in the mountains of North Georgia many years ago. And God's given me the opportunity to be raised in a family and hearing the gospel and the things of God from a young age. And I praise the Lord for that. I remember when the team came down from this church to Chile, and I was telling the guys there how old this church is and how long it's been preaching the gospel. They couldn't believe it, because when they think about Bible preaching churches, they think in the range of, you know, 10 years or less. And then you talk about a church that is 20 or 30 years, and for them, they're thinking, wow, that's a very old church. I can barely imagine 20 or 30 years, and to talk about, you know, more than a couple of 100 years. But when you read the New Testament, we find that there are first-generation churches that are being started with new believers and new Christians, and it's encouraging for me to think about there in Chile as we're starting churches with first-generation Christians, not people that were raised in church or their parents and their grandparents and great-grandparents were Christians, but people that are hearing the gospel and putting their faith in Him and working to reach their neighbors and friends and family with the gospel. Well, that's the same kind of things that were happening here in the Word of God. And the way that they were used to change the world in their generation is the way that God is using people today, whether it be in East Tennessee or whether it be in Chile. He still works the same way. He's still the same God. It's still the same Word. It's still the same gospel message. And I think there's some principles here we can learn about how God used these people to change their generation back in the first century, and it's the same thing He wants to do today in the 21st century. Let's read together starting in chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says here, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here in this church. I thank you for their passion and love for missions and for evangelism around the world. And I thank you for what they're doing here locally as well. And I pray this evening that you would speak to our hearts from your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would change us, would help us to leave here encouraged anew to serve you, to reach our generation with the gospel, to realize that we're responsible and that you've given us everything we need to complete your will and your plan. And I pray that we would be obedient to that. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing that we find here in this passage, and the first thing that was so important and essential to seeing the first generation of the church, to see the first century changed, was the message that was preached. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel of God. And you know, it was the message of the gospel that was so influential and so life-changing that was preached in all through the book of Acts when many of these churches were being planted, that we find later letters being written back to them, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that form what we call today the New Testament or the Bible. And the message of the gospel is what continues to change lives today. And the message of the gospel is what is changing lives in Chile and around the world. There's a young man named Yerko. Yerko, the team that was down, met him. He was a young man, just had been saved, I guess, at that time, about 3 years. Now he's probably about 5 years or so as a Christian. And he came to our church, actually came because there was a girl from his school that was coming to our church, and he was interested in her, and she wouldn't really give him the time of day. And he thought, well, if I go to her church, maybe she'll start paying a little more attention to me, and maybe something will work out. And so he showed up one Sunday morning, the first time he'd ever been to church. Chile is a predominantly Catholic country, about 70-80%, depending on the stat that you read, are Catholics. But Yerko had never even been to a Catholic church, had no religious background at all. Heard the gospel for the first time and didn't really understand a lot of things. And God began to work in his heart, and he started coming back, and we were visiting him and following up. And a few weeks later, he put his faith in Jesus as his personal Savior. Well, as he made that decision and started reading the Bible and not missing any services and got teamed up with another guy that was able to teach him a lot of things and help him as he was growing up and going through discipleship and About 6 months in, he came to me and said, you know, I really want to go to the Bible college that you guys have here, and I think God wants me to be a preacher, and think God wants me to, you know, maybe start a church one day. And I thought, wow, this is fantastic. It's great to see Yerko with his zeal and growing and getting involved. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things through the years there in Chile and people you kind of meet. And I thought when he first said it, well, that sounds great, you know, a little skeptical and thinking he probably doesn't understand what it really means to be a pastor or to start a church or whatever. But just, you know, if that's what the Lord wants, that will be exciting, and we'll just pray to that end, and we'll help you out. And he started the Bible college not too long after that, and will be graduating here in December. They finished the school year in South America in December. We're on the other side of the world and have our summers January and February, and so he'll be finishing up here just in next month, be graduating from the Bible college. There's another young lady, not the same one that he ended up coming to church for, but another young lady that he'll be soon married to, a great young lady that's serving the Lord there in the first church that we planted in Chile. But he'll be working there in the Twin Cities, leading the church ministries that are going on there. He's been traveling out many times and working there with another young man that's working in the Twin Cities. But the gospel message is what changed Yerko's life. And you could be praying for Yerko. It's kind of a typical name. You probably have a lot of friends named Yerko, right? And so you can remember that name, Y-E-R-K-O. But Yerko, preaching the gospel, was changed by the gospel, the same message that changed his life, and someone that had never been around anything that was religious or God or the Bible or Jesus, and he heard the message of the gospel, and it's the powerful message. And here in Romans 1, the same chapter, verse 16, a passage that's very familiar to many of us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And this message, Paul was separated unto the good news, unto the gospel. The gospel means good news. We're living in a time where there's so much bad news and there's so many things on the evening news that would never be good news, but just bad news of problems and death and sickness and poverty and problems that are on the financial side and problems with different disasters that are going on. But there's a good news message of the gospel that is being preached in many churches like this church and some there in South America, and the same message that Paul was preaching, the good news. But look what the Bible says here in verse number 2. Talking about the gospel, it says there, "which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." This message of the gospel that Paul was preaching, the message that we continue to preach today with his help, is a message that wasn't new. It wasn't something that Paul made up or invented. It wasn't something that was even started at the time of Christ and there with the disciples. But this was a message that had been foretold many years before, centuries before, by the prophets. Many of the prophets looking forward to Christ and the Messiah, they wrote as they were led by the Holy Spirit and talked about these future things that would happen. And so many prophecies came together there in the birth of Christ and the life of Christ and the death of Christ. And this message wasn't something new, but it was something that had been foretold from so long ago. Isaiah spoke of that frequently in Isaiah 7:14. The Bible says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." The same book, Isaiah chapter 9:6, the Bible says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Chapter 53, an incredible chapter that speaks of the Lord's suffering and how he died for us, says in verse number 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You know, the message that Paul was preaching, and he's reminding the readers here back then, and he's reminding us today that this wasn't just a new something, a new concept, a new idea, a new thought, but even back in the book of Genesis, we know in chapter number 3, there in the very beginning with Adam and Eve, it was foretold about how someone would come and he would make right all that sin had messed up and all that sin had destroyed. And here Jesus came, and he was the Son of God, and he gave his life in payment for our sins. And this message was being preached, and that's what changed the first century, and that's what will change the 21st century. And we need more churches around the world that will preach the gospel message, not to get involved in a message of social reform or politics or maybe the opinion of the particular preacher, but we need to preach the gospel, the message of the Word of God, of who we are without God and what He did for us and through Jesus Christ. That's the message that changes lives. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3, talking about the message. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. If you have any doubts who the prophets were writing about, they were writing concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to flesh. He was the Son of God that was made into flesh. Look in verse number 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. So it's God in the flesh, in holiness. He lived His entire life with no sin. Imagine growing up in Jesus' family. We know that He had some siblings, and imagine going into a fight that was going on with some of Jesus and maybe brothers and sisters that He had. I don't know if any of you, how many of you have children here? Raise your hand if you have kids. How many of you that have kids, when they were growing up, they argued or fought at some time or another? Raise your hand, all right? My kids, they fall in that same line. But if you were in Jesus' family, imagine walking into any of those arguments or discussions that were going on. Well, we know whose fault it wasn't. It was never Jesus' fault. So it's not about, no, who hit who first? Now, what was going on here? He was holy. He never sinned. He lived a life, God in the flesh. And look what the Bible says here in verse number 4 in the latter part there. He was not only declared to be the Son of God by His holiness, but the last part says there, by the resurrection from the dead. So He lived a holy life, and he died on the cross, and He rose from the dead, and that declared that He was the Son of God without any doubt whatsoever, and He died for our sins. Look what the Bible says there in verse number 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. So not only do we find the message that is so important to see our generation reached during our lifetime, but also the messengers are so important. Here, Paul gives an open testimony that he received grace, he received salvation, he received the apostleship or the calling into the ministry to preach this message by the Lord. But you know, the message, it doesn't fail. The gospel is true, the gospel is powerful, the gospel works, the gospel changes lives. But you know, God has given us, He has entrusted us the ministry of reconciliation. He has entrusted us the ministry of preaching the gospel, of taking the message. And it's not the message that's failing today. It's not the message that has failed that we find many areas around the world where there's not the message being proclaimed, but it's the messengers. You know, God has given us the message to take, but we need messengers that will take that message. We find here in verse number 1, we can learn much about the messenger that God used. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul introduces himself as the servant of God. And this idea of servant here isn't just maybe a flippant kind of word. You know, I'm here to help you if you need me. I'm here to serve you. In Chile, oftentimes, the cultural way to introduce yourself is, it's a really nice thing to say, Jason, to serve you. I would say, my name is Jason para servirte, to here to serve you. But it really, it's just a nice thing to say, because if someone were to introduce themselves and say, hey, my name is Joe to serve you, and I said, all right, great, well, my car is outside if you want to wash it and vacuum it, and when you're done with that, if you want to come in, I don't know, polish the shoes or something like that, he'd probably say, hey, buddy, I was just being nice. You know, you're taking things a little bit too far here. The idea of serving isn't just the idea of, you know, if I can help you, let me know, but it's the idea of being a servant, a slave, to be given over by your free will to belong to someone else. And here Paul is talking about how he has been bought with a price, and he has surrendered himself to be God's servant, God's slave, belonging to God. Now I don't have any rights of my own. It's not my life. It's not my family. It's not my future. It's not my finances. It's not my plans, but everything belongs to God. I am God's child and a servant of God. That was the attitude that Paul had, and that's the attitude of a messenger that was used by God to take this message and to literally change a generation with that message. And wouldn't it be an incredible thing today if we had many men and women and many young men and women who would have the same attitude? And God, help us this evening to share in that same attitude, to tell the Lord, I want to be your servant. In the biblical sense of the word, I give my all to you. I die on the altar. I'm dead to self, completely given to you. My future is yours. Whatever you would like of me, that is what I want to do. And I'm here to serve you. It's not about me. It's not my plans. It's not my aspirations. But my life revolves around you, and it's all about you. I'm here to serve you, Lord. I was speaking with the teens here just about an hour ago, or a couple hours now, and we were talking a bit about God's will and how God leads in our lives, and God really begins to work in the heart of a teenager whenever that teenager comes to the point of saying, it's not my life, Lord, but it's yours, and I'm just here to do what you want. You know, it's not really a good thing necessarily to, oftentimes we say it, we ask kids and teenagers, what do you like to do when you grow up? But the better idea would be, what does God want you to do when you grow up? Because God has a plan for our lives. And if we are born-again believers, then we belong to Him, and we are children of God, and we should be servants of God. Amen? And here we find Paul living that way, with that heart attitude, a complete and full surrender to the Lord. As a teenager, I knew the Lord was leading us, or leading me toward the ministry, and had placed that call in my life. And I grew up in the Atlanta area. In our hometown, there were several churches preaching the gospel, and I had the opportunity to go on a missions trip right before I went to Bible college. And well, for one of the first times in my life, I was exposed to an area in the world where there were areas, literally big areas. You could look out and see tons of homes, and there weren't any churches preaching the gospel. 95% of the world is located outside of the U.S. 95%. I went into Bible college thinking, well, if God, He loves the whole world and He died on the cross for the whole world, and 95% of the world lives outside of the U.S., then there's probably about 95% chance that I'll be living outside of the U.S. serving Him at some place, because there's so many other areas that have such an incredible need that probably the Lord wants me to go in that direction. And you know what? It would be a great thing if many of us would think about missions in the way that God thinks about missions. He loves the whole world. He loves the people in Viña del Mar and Valparaiso just as much as He loves the people in Johnson City or the area here close by this church. He wants all to hear and all to have the opportunity to not only hear the gospel, but to have a local church where they can go and serve and be a part. And what an awesome opportunity we have. And I know this church understands that concept, and we see the flags and all the missions presentations from the conference here recently, and we know that you guys are involved in missions, and that's what it's all about. We're here God left us here in this world to be his ambassadors, to take the good news, but we need more messengers that will be surrendered, that will be given to him, to take that message, whether here at home or abroad, and tell other people about the Lord. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 5. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. So this ministry God's given us is a ministry that should be expressed among all nations. And then look what it says here, for his name. So we have been saved and we have been called and we have been separated to the gospel to take the gospel, whether it's at your job or in your neighborhood or there at school or wherever it might be, or maybe even around the world somewhere and start a church and preach the gospel. But the motivation that we have for it all, the reason why we do what we do, is for his name. And the messengers, if we have a heart of surrender as servants, and if we have the motivation that is correct to take the message to all nations, but we do it for his name. Yeah, it's encouraging to hear testimonies like Yerko's testimony, or encouraging to hear testimonies like Nicolás's testimony, one of the pastors that the Pastor Jody and the team met when they were down a little over a year ago, a guy that was a liquor salesman that today is pastoring a local congregation of growing believers. They were there on the inaugural Sunday of their new church building and just getting things started there with a new church building. The church had been going on for a couple of years at that point, but it's exciting to hear those testimonies, and those encourage us. But the true and the deepest motivation that we have, and the reason we do what we do, is not for the people primarily, but we do it for the Lord. We do it for his name. We love him, and we want to serve him, and it's all about him, and it's not about the missionary, and it's not about the things that maybe national pastors are doing, but we do it for Jesus, because he's the hero of the story. He's the one that gave his life for us. He's the one that has given us the privilege of knowing the truth and knowing about him and taking that message to others. We do it for his namesake. Well, there might be some of you that are reading this passage and you think, well, Paul, he was an apostle. Of course he was a servant. Of course he took the message. Of course he had the right motivation. But that was Paul. You know, Paul's a lot different than the rest of us, because we're not on that level. Well, I'm glad we're talking about that, and I'm glad you asked that question. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 6. Some of you are thinking, well, we never asked the question. All right. Look at number 6. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, he's writing here this church. And you know, Romans is the great book about salvation, the doctrine of salvation, incredible book. Shows us who we are without Jesus, what he did for us, and how we can serve him, and the great book about salvation. And here he starts it off saying, I'm an apostle, I've been sent, I've been called by the Lord to take the message of the gospel, and it's all about him. And this message is not a new message, but it's the same one that the prophets told us about so many years ago. And what a privilege it is to do it for his name's sake. And among the ones that are called, ye also are called. You are also in the same boat. If you're a Christian, then you've also had the opportunity to put your faith in Christ. You've also had the opportunity to be bought by him. You also now belong to him. You've also been set aside for the gospel's sake. And we together must work and serve to take this message to the entire world. So we're not just talking about, oh, this is a good passage for, you know, Pastor Jody and for the missionary and for maybe some of the other full-time people that might be here present. No, this is for to all that be in Rome, or to all that be in gray, to all that are saved. God's given us the responsibility of taking the message to the rest of the world. And maybe this evening, you know, you've been involved in the church and you attend and you're faithfully coming here, and maybe you're even involved in missions with a missions conference that recently took place here. But maybe God's working in your heart about really being a servant of him, of really coming to the point of saying, Lord, I don't want to just have part of my life given to you and the things of God, but I really want to serve you with everything that I have. And I want to surrender myself to you and my future and my family and all that I have and all that I am and all that I will be and will do. It's not about me. I'm not here to fulfill my desires, but I'm here to really serve you, to know you, and to make you known here locally or maybe even somewhere around the world. And I think that if we had more people, whether it be in Chile or whether it be here in the U.S., that lived the testimony that Paul gives as he introduces himself, I think we would have a whole lot fewer video testimonies like we saw of Valparaiso and other areas in Santiago where the gospel hasn't been preached. And that's not just one country, but there's stories like that all around the world. And even places in the States that need churches that will be preaching the gospel and telling other people about the Lord. And even here in your own community, so many people that maybe grew up in an area where they have access to a church but have never heard the gospel, never had the opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. I think if we were more surrendered to the Lord and live like Paul was living here and like he's encouraging the Christians in Rome to live, I think we would have far fewer testimonies of that sort. God, help us to live and honor him in this way and to be dedicated to the message. The message hasn't lost its power. We just need to be faithful messengers. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as the pastor comes forward. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here in this missions-minded church. It's given to take the gospel to their community and around the world, but there might be some here this evening that have lost the focus of doing it for your name's sake. Maybe there's some that are newer Christians that have never gotten involved in ministries here in the local church. Maybe there's some like Yerko that came to church just for friends or for an invitation but had never really heard the gospel. Maybe today is the day that they need to be saved. I pray that you would work in our hearts and help us to be faithful messengers. And we thank you for this message that is so strong and so faithful. Help us to continue to proclaim it faithfully. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I never want to let a service come and go without giving folks an opportunity. If they're not sure of heaven, now's your time. Ladies with ladies, men with men, if somebody's here tonight that's come to church, but you've never come to Jesus Christ by faith, you've never trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, maybe you have a doubt in your mind, in your heart, in just a moment when we extend the invitation, you come. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. And I wonder tonight, in this crowd, how many of us here are as faithful as we should be giving the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Everywhere we go, there's people who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart tonight as a believer. You're born again, you're saved. Maybe this is something that you've just been real fearful about or whatever the case may be, but the Lord is speaking to you tonight saying, you know, I want you as my messenger. Can I go a step farther here? Every child of God is a messenger. Every one of us. You're already a messenger. Now, you may be a silent one, but nevertheless, you are a messenger. If you never say a word, God has made every one of his children to be carriers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't open your mouth, and if I don't open my mouth, What a disloyalty that is to the God who allowed the gospel to be given to us and has changed our life. May the Lord help you. May he help me to be more faithful in this. I don't know how the Lord's leading, but however he is, let's do business with him. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take these thoughts, drive them home to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the messenger. Keep your hand upon him and his family, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to your heart as he sings, you come now. Would you do that?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. take thy cross and follow.
Recently, we've had a meeting, myself and the deacons, looking at our mission program, really thinking and meditating on it. And we've made a little chart, presented it to them, and they're fully on board. It's a little graph that in the middle there's a bullseye. And in that bullseye with our mission program, it has this word, these words, church planting. Biblical missions, we're for getting the gospel to every hand, getting in every home, every heart. We want to see people saved. But the Lord is not finished with that. He wants local churches established around the world. These 17, we just brought on 17 new missionary families this past week. Getting ready to bring on more than that, God willing. Every one of them that we know of now, every one of them is focused on church planting. Planting churches. And these missionaries that we're bringing on, we're targeting areas of the world where we currently have no missionaries there. For instance, one young family that we brought on last week, they are going to Arctic Siberia. They're already in the area learning the language. We brought them on this week. We brought on our very first missionary, and I called him this week. He's sitting in the country of China when I'm talking to him. Our first missionary to the country of China, he's already there. He's doing a great work. His name is Mark Tolson. He picked up the phone and he said, "Yes, I'm sitting in China right now." That's a blessing, friends. And I'm saying all that to say this, that's what this missionary and his family is doing. They've got it right. They really do. And if you're given the faith promise, if you're giving to it, it's going to missionaries like this. It's investing in eternity. That's what it is. And we're so honored to have a missionary family like this. That's part of our mission program. We're excited about what the Lord's doing in the Twin Cities. Two churches now. The first church, our church, helped to finance. And now that church has doubled itself. Now there's two churches. You had a hand in that if you gave. That's exciting, isn't it? That ought to float your boat a little bit longer. You know what I mean? Amen for it. I'm going to ask Brother Jason, his wife, and his children if they'll make the way out to the lobby. I know our folks want to greet you. Some of them want to meet you for the first time, I'm sure. That'll be good. Brother Bob wants me to go ahead and dismiss all parents and teenagers planning to go to England. If you'll be dismissed, if you want to go by them first and just thank them for being here, say a word to them, go on to the meeting there. All parents and teenagers planning to go to England, you can be dismissed. I want to encourage you to be back Wednesday night. God willing, we'll be plowing again back in the book of Exodus, unless the Lord changes my mind. And you be back right in your place, 7 o'clock if you can. That would be good. Let's pray together. You can be dismissed, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Edgar Gamble, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and dismiss us tonight, please.